Welcome to day 187 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we will be reading 2 Kings chapter 14 and 2 Chronicles chapter 25. This week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning today at 2 Kings chapter 14, starting at verse 1. In the second year of Joash, the son of Joahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadin of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all that Joash his father had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his hand that he killed his servants who had slain the king his father. But the sons of the slayers he did not put to death, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded, saying, "The fathers shall not be put to death for the sons, nor the sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin." He killed of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war, and named it Jokthiel to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face each other." Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, "The thorn bush, which was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, which was in Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son in marriage.' But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud. Enjoy your glory and stay home. For why should you provoke trouble, so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you?" But Amaziah would not listen. So Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, became king in his place. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? They conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. All the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaziah the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai the prophet, who was of Gath Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. The Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he fought and how he recovered for Israel, Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son became king in his place. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Now it came about, as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his grasp, that he killed his servants who had slain his father the king. However, he did not put their children to death, but did, as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, which the Lord commanded, saying, "Fathers shall not be put to death for sons, nor sons be put to death for fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them, according to their fathers' households, under commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds throughout Judah and Benjamin. And he took a census of those from 20 years old and upward and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war and handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him saying, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. But if you do go, do it. Be strong for the battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has power to help and to bring down." Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord has much more to give you than this." Then Amaziah dismissed them, the troops which came to him from Ephraim, to go home. So their anger burned against Judah, and they returned home in fierce anger. Now Amaziah strengthened himself and led his people forth and went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 of the sons of Seir. The sons of Judah also captured 10,000 alive and brought them to the top of the cliff and threw them down from the top of the cliff so that they were all dashed to pieces. But the troops whom Amaziah sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah, from Samaria to Beth Horon, and struck down 3,000 of them and plundered much spoil. Now after Amaziah came from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, Why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? As he was talking with them, the king said to him, Have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? Then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, Come, let us face each other. Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, The thorn bush, which was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, which was in Lebanon, saying, Give your daughter to my son in marriage. But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You said, Behold, you have defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud in boasting. Now stay at home, for why should you provoke trouble so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not listen, for it was from God that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom. So Joash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Joash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from first to last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? From the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But then they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on King Amaziah. We could call him the king who started out well, but in the end failed miserably. Amaziah, it tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And then the second verse tells us he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. And from that point forward, we begin to see that he did indeed start out doing what God wanted him to do. He executed the murderers of his father, the king, and yet he obeyed the law that was written in the book of Moses about not punishing the children for a sin of their father. So we see he started out with some respect for the word of God and the plan of God and the commandments of God. But then as we move forward, we begin to see him start to backslide. First of all, he looked at his army and he assembled all of them and he counted them and he figured out that he had about 300,000 soldiers that were able to go to war and handle the shield. And if you think about it, based on the past, his military power for Judah had really deteriorated, because that was only about, it was actually less than a fourth of the army that the previous king, several kings before him, King Jehoshaphat, had had at his disposal. So over the years, the army had been decimated by different wars. And so we see that probably the entire population of males who were available to fight as soldiers have been greatly reduced because of foreign wars, as well as other issues that had happened to the kingdom of Judah. But nonetheless, Amaziah was quite determined to fight against Edom, probably because they had attacked the southern part of the kingdom of Judah, and so therefore he was determined to go and pay them back for the incursions that they had made into the land of Judah. So when he did this, after counting and finding he only had about 300,000 soldiers, he decided to hire some mercenary soldiers. So he hired about 100,000 from the kingdom of Israel, and it cost him 100 talents of silver. So he's all ready to go to war against Edom when suddenly on the horizon comes a man of God, a prophet, warning him against taking the men, the soldiers that had come from Israel, with him into battle, basically telling him, if you do that, you are in big trouble because the Lord is not with Israel. He's not with the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be strong for battle, but God's going to make you fall before the enemy, because he came into alliance with these mercenary soldiers from Israel. So the prophet tries to dissuade Amaziah and succeeds in doing so. The only thing that bothered Amaziah was the fact that he had paid them 100 talents of silver for their services, but the prophet reassured him that God could give him much more than this. So King Amaziah complied with the prophet's admonition to him, and he just forfeited the money that he had paid to them, and he sent the mercenary soldiers home. Well, this just infuriated them, most likely because they were now not going to be able to be partakers of any loot that was gotten in the battle, which was part of the deal when you brought soldiers on, that when they got the victory, they shared the booty, the loot that they were able to get from whoever it was that they conquered. So these mercenary soldiers from the tribe of Ephraim were so angry that they were being dismissed by King Amaziah that on their way home, they ended up raiding King Amaziah's towns in the kingdom of Judah, wreaking havoc as they went and stealing and killing from whoever was in their path. So that was a rather sad return for the free money that they'd received. Their pride got the best of them, and then they also were greedy for more gain, and they decided to go ahead and steal from King Amaziah by raiding the towns of Judah on their way home. So we see that Amaziah goes ahead and fights against the Edomites, and the Lord helped him, and they defeated Edom, and they were able, the soldiers from Judah were able to take home a lot of booty from that battle. But it's at this point that we see Amaziah starting to go downhill. First of all, we find out that he did not forbid his men to take home with them when they took the loot from the Edomites. He did not forbid them from taking the idols that the Edomites worshipped. And so they brought them with them back to Judah. And it says that even Amaziah eventually went and bowed down to those idols. So that was a horrible time of backsliding. And then he gets rebuked from a prophet who comes to him and says, why would you seek out gods from people who couldn't even stand against you? In other words, those gods couldn't deliver their own people from Amaziah's hand. Why would Amaziah bow down to such idols, false gods? And so the king, however, had a terrible response to that prophet. Instead of repenting for the idolatry that he allowed and also participated in, Instead of saying, forgive me, that was wrong. God, forgive me. I repent. I burn these idols. Instead, he rebukes the prophet, tells him, have we appointed you to be a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? And so the prophet did stop, but he told him, now I see that God's plan to destroy you because you've done this and you haven't listened to the counsel of the prophet. So we see Amaziah, who started out well, beginning to go downhill. But his defeat or his decline actually got even worse. And the next part of the story really is rooted in the sin of pride. No doubt Amaziah felt pretty good after his big victory against the Edomites, being very proud of his conquest and coming home with lots of loot that they had taken from that enemy army. He decides to pick a fight with the king of Judah. Undoubtedly, he was angry at those mercenary soldiers that he had hired from the kingdom of Israel because they had gone through Judah and plundered it on their way home. So there's no doubt there was anger involved against those Israelites, and he wanted retaliation. So he tells the king of Israel, come, let's face each other in battle. But the king of Israel was very wise and sent him basically an answer in the form of a parable. That's when he told him the thorn bush, which was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, which was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son in marriage. But then there passed a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. And then he explains his own parable by telling him, behold, you've defeated Edom. Okay, big deal. And your heart has become proud in boasting. Now stay at home. For why should you provoke trouble so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you? So the king of Israel recognized that Amaziah, the king of Judah, was all puffed up and feeling really powerful after defeating Edom with their small army, and felt like he was picking a fight on someone much greater than himself, which was very true. And so Amaziah's reaction to that was more pride rearing up. And it was literally this sin of pride that was going to end up defeating him and taking him down. Because it says after the king of Israel essentially tells him, look, just stay home. Your heart's all proud and boastful because you won one battle, but don't set yourself up to be defeated by coming against me, the king of Israel. But Amaziah's pride would not let him back down. And that was going to be his end. And you know the story. He went to face him, and the king of Israel defeated him. And not only did he defeat him in the battle, he ends up raiding Jerusalem and taking all the gold and silver and all the treasures of the king's house. And that was a great and tremendous defeat to the king of Judah. But I want to point out to you this issue that really brought Amaziah down. And it was that sin of pride. He had some success, he had some victory, and in the place of that victory, instead of praising God for helping them, which it was truly God's hand that assisted him in defeating the Edomites, he didn't have that big of an army, and God had made him dismiss the 100,000 mercenary soldiers, and he had done it. But once he received a victory that was truly assisted by God himself, he acted as if he had done it all on his own and was able to do more than that. And this is the problem that we have as human beings, and that is pride, which thinks more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, instead of recognizing that God was the one that gave the victory. Amaziah started taking the credit for himself. And I have observed that even in the lives of believers sometimes, when God has given us victories or given us a season of prosperity or peace or blessing, that somehow we allow our minds to become deceived that somehow all the blessing and the prosperity and the success came from our own hand. And when we go down that path in our minds and in our hearts, pride is getting a grip, and pride comes before a fall, which is what Proverbs teaches us. And this is something that happened in Amaziah's life. And it can happen in the life of any believer if we're not on guard against such a thing. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you may remember that God warned the people of Israel that once they came into the promised land, the place where the milk and honey would flow, where the blessings of God would be freely distributed to the people, not because they earned it, but because God gave it and blessed them, that they needed to be very watchful of themselves. God warned them, and he said, "Lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. But instead you should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." That is God's word. He said, you better be careful when prosperity comes, when success comes, when blessing comes, when you get a victory, that you don't suddenly forget that it was God who gave you the power to get that wealth, to get that victory, to receive that blessing, to receive what you need from the Lord. And you suddenly allow the enemy to say, wow, aren't you the best? Aren't you the greatest salesperson or the greatest business person or the smartest guy in the class? And all of those types of thoughts that will come from the enemy of your soul, Satan, trying to trip you up with pride. Even success in the ministry, Satan will come and try to say, look what a great man of God or woman of God you are, that all these wonderful things are happening in your ministry. When the reality is, it's the Lord your God who gives you the power to do anything at all in your life, whether it's to prosper financially, to see miracles happening in the ministry, whether it's success in the classroom, in an academic setting or a business setting, whatever it may be, it is God who gives you the power to do any of those things. It's God who created the intellect that you have. It's God that blesses you with success and promotion and favor. And we have to keep a clear grip on that reality. Amaziah did not keep a clear grip on the reality that it was God who gave him power to defeat the enemy, the Edomite army. And he suddenly got it in his mind that it was all about him. And that is what began his decline and eventual destruction, because pride does come before a fall. God wants us to remember who gives us the power to do anything in life. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You can't even breathe without God. You can't think a clear thought without God's blessing on your life. We need to be clear about who we are and who God is. And that's a really simple definition of humility, having a revelation of who God is and who we are not. But we are his sons and daughters, his servants. And if he's blessed you with any gift, make sure you're always giving him the glory. If he's blessed you with academic success, if you're a student, then give him the glory. He's the one who created your intellect. If he's given you success in business, give him the glory. He's the one that's enabled you, who gives you the power to obtain wealth through business or investing or whatever it is you may do for a living. God wants us to keep him first in our lives, and we don't want to be like Amaziah, who started out well, obeying the Lord, and ended up so badly that he's destroyed because of his own pride. So let's keep that in mind this week. As you have successes and blessings and increase and favor in your life, that you're careful to always recognize the source from which you received that blessing and that victory. As we close, I want to read to you from a proclamation that Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, made back in 1863. He too was very aware of the danger of prosperity and blessing in turning the hearts of people away from the Lord. He said this: "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Abraham Lincoln recognized this danger of pride for a nation that received blessings. Let us also be very aware, as he was, of the danger of pride for us as individuals. Keep that in mind as you go through your week. God bless you and give you a victorious day.